Friends, we will, as Len mentioned, get to that familiar scripture reading from the book of Genesis in a few moments, but I wanted to share with you how the Spirit led me in its way to that verse. There are always disturbing headlines, reports in our papers and our nightly news these days, but I've been particularly troubled this week, as I know many of you have, by the continuing headlines and the escalating violence in Israel and Palestine. Part of what's made this growing news more troubling for me is that because this conflict is such an ancient one of my first responses is to turn the volume down or flip the newspaper page as I read yet another headline or hear another report. However, I've tried this week to be a bit more intentional in reading news articles and listening to television and radio news reports, because the problem with turning down the volume or turning the page, other than the obvious one of that leading to my complacency and inaction, is that we are unfaithful whenever we tune out the world and all that is happening in it. The Israeli-Palestinian violence is not the only current violent conflict or upheaval in our world, in our lives, of course, from the sectarian violence in Iraq and the Ukraine to the tens of thousands of children fleeing Honduras and Guatemala and El Salvador and Mexico, many heading for the United States, to the anger and the aggression surfacing much closer to our physical homes. Our information to action ratio is increasingly overwhelming and debilitating. We know so much more than we think we can ever do anything about, that we are eventually paralyzed about doing anything at all. Turning down the volume, turning the page, tuning out become exercises in self-preservation. The problem is, in all of these exercises and any others that try to shut out the wider world, our concern and our concerns for it, those responses are unfaithful to the God we know in Jesus Christ. So I've been troubled this week. Pray with me. Lord our God, we do pause to pray that you add your blessing and hearing to the reading of your holy word, and that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts that follow be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So my troubling feeling starts, it occurred to me, in remembering the first two chapters in the very first book of our sacred scripture, the book of Genesis. In a moment, we're going to read the scripture text for this morning from chapter 4, but first, let's step back a little further. In chapter 2 of Genesis, after that cosmic assertion of chapter 1, in the beginning God created and it was good and it was good and it was good 7 times over until very good. In the oldest story of all, after that assertion, the writers focus squarely on human beings. Chapter 2 and chapter 3 have a coherence, a dramatic coherence, focusing as they do on you and me, on men and women. We are, the chapters announce, the crowning glory of creation. But that's not all it tells us about ourselves. We are the crowning glory of creation, but we are also the central problem of creation. The glory of creation and its principal challenge. What an ignominious identity we have. But there it is. According to the creation stories in Genesis, that since the destiny of human creatures is to live in God's world with all of God's creatures on God's terms, to put it bluntly, we don't do that very well. And we haven't done that very well from the very beginning. We are then a problem. The writers of Genesis, chapter 2 and 3, right from the very beginning, immediately after the breath of life that puts us in relationship with one another and with all of creation and with God, that writer confronts us with our crisis. It's not our addictions or our perversions or our wars or our violence or even our selfishness or our disobedience. It is our alienation. Read chapters 2 and 3 when you get home right? From the very outset, we try to control our lives by concerning ourselves only with ourselves and those closest to us, our families only. We alienate ourselves from the rest of creation and even from our Creator in an attempt to take care of our own. It only takes one cool morning in our scripture story, one hot and dry afternoon for us to be put out of the garden and for a sword flaming and turning to be put up to guard the way back to the tree of life. That sword will only come down when we learn that our own is everyone. Until that time, we too will live east of Eden, and life will continue to not be affirming and encouraging, but what? Hard and discouraging, full of pain and death in all of its many forms. Our attention at this point, as readers of this ancient text, moves away from the abundant life God creates and promises towards an existence full of toil and of trouble. We are alienated. Now listen to the opening verses of chapter 4. As familiar as these are too, listen for the word of God. Now the man knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have produced a man with the help of the Lord. Next she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a tiller of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruits of the ground, and Abel for his part brought of the firstlings of his flock their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is lurking at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain said to his brother Abel, let us go out into the field. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? We're still asking that question today and hoping against hope. I dare say that the answer is no, you're not. Don't worry about it, even though we know full well that we are our brother's and our sister's keeper. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. No text in Genesis, and probably the whole Bible, has been more misused, misinterpreted, and misunderstood than those opening chapters in the book of Genesis. The teachings of the church throughout the century, and particularly in these past decades, 4 or 5 decades, through careless and popular theology, have placed the problems of evil and sin and death and all of its forms in this text on something beyond us that we can't really do anything about and so don't really need to be a part of. So we, smart self-preservationists, have been able to lay the blame for what we do and who we are somewhere other than at our own feet. There's the serpent, there's the other, one human being or another, Eve and Adam in our traditional narrative. There's even God to blame. How could God expect us to do what God wants us to do? What's happened in all of this theology and church teachings is that the issues of evil and the fall and sin and death and, frankly, of sex have taken a life of their own, and they've been separated from the faith issues that are properly in question in this text, namely the calling from God to be God's creatures, to live in God's world on God's terms, which includes caring about and for all. The fact is that these opening chapters of our human story are not at all interested about theoretical or abstract questions of sin and death and evil or the fall. Such questions are no part of biblical testimony. They are concerns for a later church trying to maintain obedience through fear and guilt. Such questions are of no interest to genuine faith, which asks us first and foremost to trust God, not ourselves, and to be faithful to God. What is being asked of us is this: can we live in God's world on God's terms? Our answer has been no for two millennia, and we continue to respond with a question we know the answer to as we continue to ignore what's happening in our world today. As we turn the page or turn down the volume, we remain alienated. We remain the central problem of creation. And that's not easy to hear. I know many of you may not buy it. I know that too. The truth is, I don't like it much myself. But once we accept the fact that we are not only the crowning glory, but the central problem of creation, we can then read and hear this scriptural testimony properly. And we can more fully engage our lives today and tomorrow and in the years ahead. Engage them in ways that make a difference in the world. Our own is everyone. And our here is everywhere. So where do we start? Well, as I read and listened to the news from Gaza and Israel this past week, I prayed. I very intentionally stopped my spinning head and I focused on this one particular situation as best I could, the one that has been troubling me the most. A few times I actually closed my eyes and muttered some words, but I always paused and pointed my thoughts toward Israel and Gaza and prayed for peace and understanding and reconciliation and relationship. My prayers, I believe, we believe, put me in touch with all of those for whom this conflict is not just a headline in a news report, and put me in touch with God, a God who affirms all of life, demanding that all people in Israel, in Palestine, in Iran, in the Ukraine, in Honduras, in El Salvador, in Crestwood and Pee-wee Valley, all people must live in security and freedom and peace. I pray. I know that may not sound like much to us 21st century movers and shakers. It doesn't feel like enough. But I can see it on your faces now. It is a start. As we align our own energy, our own spirit, our own lives with others in our world and with the will of God for peace and security for all, then our prayer becomes a first step. A first step toward peace and relationship and reunion. And then we keep stepping forward. Our prayers lead to water purification systems, clothes pantries, divestment measures in companies engaged in non-peaceful pursuits, literacy programs, prison ministries, habitat houses, school supplies, inclusive laws, civil rights, equal rights, affordable health care, environmental action, social justice, and so, so much more. Ministries of engagement and connection. We are each other's keepers. And when our prayers for and our connections to everyone are released into the world, then the central problem of creation begins to become again the crowning glory of it. And we answer the question of Cain the way it's supposed to be answered. Yes. Yes, you are. Our lives are lived in service to a creative and loving God who calls us into relationship, not to a hopeless, helpless human predicament that alienates us from one another. Our lives are lived in this service each and every moment of each and every day, in big ways and in small ways, more often than not in those small ways, a prayer. It's a paradox of our human life, that in the routine, in the everyday, we find possibilities for the greatest transformation of all in ourselves and in the world. We are asked to make all that we are and all that we have been taught and trained to do as nurses and educators, theologians, artists, engineers, lawyers, doctors, secretaries, accountants, all that we are and all that we do available to God and one another. We are the crowning glory and the central problem of God's creation. Our alienation comes from rejecting God's care and seeking to secure our own well-being. We do that always at the expense of community and relationship with God and with all other creatures. To live fully is to turn from our own invented isolation to ways of incarnating God, of living in God's world with one another on God's terms. Our own is everyone. So friends, this week, whenever you hear or read or experience any news that you are tempted to tune out for whatever reason, and you will over and over again, whenever you are confronted with that, take the time to stop and pray in whatever way you decide. Just point your life in the direction of God and connect globally, locally, personally. Be your brothers and your sisters' keeper. And we just may change the world. Amen.